NFL free agency is up and running, and the Chiefs began making moves to repair where they fell short last year's Super Bowl, starting with signing free agent offensive lineman Joe Thuney to a five-year, $80 million deal. Stephen A. Smith, with yesterday's signing, how confident are you that the Chiefs have officially built a dynasty? And when I say dynasty, I mean like the Patriots dynasty.
What damn dynasty? What dynasty? I'm sorry.
Come on.
Who's the reigning defending Super Bowl champion? Who that?
That's a no.
Who that? That would happen to be the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, the Bucs.
Now, if you're the New England Patriots.
The Bucs, you meant.
I'm sorry.
You said the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, Lord.
It's called a Freudian slip.
I'm sorry. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're the champions. I'm sorry. Is it the Kansas City Chiefs that won six Super Bowls? Is it the Kansas City Chiefs that had multiple Super Bowls on their resume? Last time I checked, when they won the Super Bowl last year, it was after a 50-year drought. Hank Stram was the coach, and I was 3 years old. What damn dynasty? What's wrong with you people? What is wrong with people out there? Look, they're a very good team. Travis Kelce, my brother from another mother, his decision-making is so impeccable. This dude here shows up in the Super Bowl, got 10 catches for 133 yards, and that wasn't even his greatest game because guess what? There was a couple of passes that he had dropped. In the end, when you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, they're formidable. Patrick Mahomes is a stud. We get all of that. They got weapons all over the place. But they didn't lose the Super Bowl. They got beat up. They got beat down. They got embarrassed. They got punked. Now, we can sit up there and call it any way we want to, but that's what happened. I love Andy Reid. But guess what? They got out-coached, too. We looked Eric Bieniemy. Listen, if you couldn't get a job before as the head coach, what you going to get now? I'm sorry, they're going to look at Todd Bowles before they look at Eric Bieniemy now. Oh. And this is what they're going to do. Okay? So let's stop with the dynasty. Look, Kansas City needs to come back, win a couple of more Super Bowls, and then we can talk about a dynasty. Dynasty? Did we ask a question about Seattle and dynasty? They went to back-to-back Super Bowls. They lost to New England. They should have won that game if Pete Carroll and Darrell Bevell didn't decide to get Russell Wilson to throw the football at the half-yard line and instead had elected to give it to beast mode. That's happened. Excuse me. The only team worthy of talking about in terms of a dynasty is the New England Patriots. If the New England Patriots were to go back and win the Super Bowl next year, hypothetically, that's a dynasty. Because even without Brady, they still finding a way to win. Kansas City? No. You got one ring. You got one chip. What? That's it.
Well, you're being very emotional, Captain.
I mean, it's necessary.
Very emotional.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
look, let's look at this logically. You call me Spock Kellerman. Let's look at it logically. The Patriots are a dynasty, you say, and they did win two Super Bowls in Brady's first three seasons. That is true. They didn't make the playoffs in one of those seasons. Is that so much better than Mahomes, who went to three straight AFC championship games in his first three seasons, came a pre-snap penalty away from going to three straight Super Bowls in his first three seasons, has already won a Super Bowl, and last year, you talk about they got punked, Stephen A., they were missing both their starting tackles, who have since been cut, by the way, Eric Fisher, former number one overall pick, and Mitch Schwartz, a perennial Pro Bowl player, an all-pro level player. These are two excellent starting tackles. And without their starting tackles and three offensive linemen altogether, Mahomes was pressured on over half the snaps. And they didn't have to send extra guys. So because they didn't have to blitz, everyone was covered. That's why they lost the Super Bowl. I'm telling you right now, even though that Chiefs defense wasn't great, if Mahomes had protection, I think the Chiefs would have won that game. How do you like that? No matter how the game actually turned out without his starting tackles. So let's start there. Three seasons, three AFC championship games away that they've played in, a play away from three straight Super Bowls they played in, and a Super Bowl win. Now let's go forward with Tom Brady and the Patriots. Tom Brady then won a third Super Bowl in his fourth season. Let's see what Patrick Mahomes does, because that's what we're up to. But so far, if he continues at this rate, would this be a dynasty? Yes, it would. If you go to the AFC championship game every year and two out of those 3 years, you go to the Super Bowl and you win a Super Bowl every 3 years. You do that for 10 or 15 years. That is absolutely not only a dynasty, but one of the greatest dynasties in the history of American team sports.
If it happened
in the NFL,
if it happened,
so what we're asking,
did it happen yet?
What we're asking is,
did it happen yet?
So far, this is three AFC championships, two Super Bowls, and a Super Bowl win. That's the beginnings of a dynasty.
No, it's not. You got to win. You got to win more than one.
That's why we're asking.
No.
Because Patrick Mahomes signed a team-friendly deal to keep the team
built
together.
Built a dynasty. Have they built a dynasty? We don't know that yet.
Between 2004 and 2014, the Patriots didn't win any Super Bowls. Was that still a dynasty?
Between 2000 what?
Four and 14.
Excuse me. I didn't feel that way until they started winning the Super Bowl again. Certainly when in 2012, in 2013, I didn't consider them a dynasty. You got to come back and win.
Yes, eventually you have to win another
one. 10 years removed.
That's what we're asking.
Hold on. You're the same person that questioned that about Golden State. They went to five straight finals. They won three chips in the 5 years, and you wouldn't give them dynasty tag.
No, that's not true.
What is not true?
That you is didn't, not
I'm
true.
I'm making that up. Molly, I'm making that up.
I think the Warriors can win another championship.
That's not what I'm asking.
And maybe it can connect to the first one.
That's not what I said. What I said was when they went to five straight NBA finals.
Oh, I said they were a
but
dynasty.
But they won three.
I said they were a dynasty.
You were pointing out my LeBron James and how they were not worthy of a cup of
them.
That's why you're smiling right now.
Because you remember part of it.
No. Oh, excuse me. That's why you're smiling, because you know that you were going like this. Hey, they shouldn't have won that.
I mean, LeBron James had this.
They would have won. That's what you said.
This is it. This is called selective perception.
Okay.
You are perceiving what I say selectively to meet your argument.
Selective perception.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Selective perception. What I said was, had LeBron's crew not been hurt, the Warriors wouldn't have won.
Okay.
Then once they got KD, they destroyed everybody. But NFL and NBA are two different things. In the NFL, you can't dominate the way teams do in the NBA normally, right? The Steelers won 4 out of 6. Like, it never, almost never happens. So what is a dynasty in the NFL? If you're in the championship game all the time, and you are in the Super Bowl a lot of the time, and you win multiple Super Bowls, that's a dynasty.
All right,
this question's asking for our prediction about the future, basically.
Max mediocre. That's not my definition of dynasty. You got to win. You got to win the chip.
Let's all
calm down. They're going to.
Let's all take a moment and just pause, go to your separate corners, and think about what you've done. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Huge news out of the boxing world. It took months of negotiations between promoters and rival champions, but finally we got a contract signed, y'all, for a two-fight deal between Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua to unify the heavyweight titles. Let's go. Stephen A. Smith. Should Fury Joshua be the biggest matchup in all of combat sports?
Hell to the no. Hell to the no. Absolutely not. I like the fight. It's a big fight. I appreciate it because I think Anthony Joshua can box and punch, and we all know Fury is the best boxer in the heavyweight division. I don't think there's any debate in that. He's the best boxer in the heavyweight division, but I question his punching power. Yeah, you can beat up people when you're 40 pounds heavier than them. That wouldn't be the case with Anthony Joshua, even though I question his chin, but we shall see. The fight that everybody should want is Terrence Crawford versus Errol Spence.
Preach.
Period. That is the fight everyone should want. That is the number one desirable fight in all of combat sports. There is no other fight that anyone should want more than Terrence Crawford. And the only reason the momentum for that has died down, Max, is because Errol Spence got in that nasty car crash. So even though he came back to the ring, we needed to see that because he could have died. I mean, my Lord, those streets in Dallas.
Beat the hell out of Danny Garcia, too, when he came back.
I understand it, but what the hell are we doing? What the hell are you doing driving like that?
Yeah.
I mean, he almost killed himself, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so even though you came back and you won and all of that other stuff, I needed to see that before I could even regain that
That's
momentum.
Because
you never know what kind of damage you could have incurred.
And Crawford can't get the other welterweights to fight him, so it stalled a little bit.
That's right. That's right. Promoters controlling the sport, that's the damn problem. They need to get over it. But anybody, let me be very clear. There is no fight out there that anyone should want more than Terrence. Now, and give me, don't get me wrong. I like the idea of Ryan Garcia versus Tank Gervonta Davis.
Oh, yeah.
I like that one. I like that one. I want to say, especially when Ryan Garcia came on my show, Stephen A's World, said he'd take Gervonta out in two rounds, and the only reason it wouldn't be one is because he wants to make him suffer just a little bit of entertainment. He don't want to make it that quick. That's what he said.
If Ryan or Tank hits you, you got to go.
Tank
either one of those guys.
Tank,
you got to go.
Listen, Tank going to remember that. Tank going to remember that. So we'll see. Okay, but in the end, despite that, nobody should want more, anything more in combat sports than Terrence Crawford versus Errol Spence. We are being robbed. We are being denied of one of the great, great fights in boxing history. It's a damn shame that we have to wait, and it's a damn shame we don't get to see Terrence Crawford more because this brother is special. And we need to see more of him.
And you don't want to wait till that expiration date
That's right.
passed, like Mayweather-Pacquiao.
Mayweather-Pacquiao
should have been the best fight
five
in years
earlier.
It was they waited way too long.
Way too long.
And when you say in boxing history, one of the that's not hyperbole, that's not an exaggeration. Almost never in the history of boxing or combat sports have you had two guys this evenly matched as Spence and Crawford. Both in their prime.
That's right.
Both in their best weight division.
And one each other and the promoters holding them back.
Both with excellent defenses, offenses, speed, punching power. Both undefeated. Both with belts. It would be a unification fight. It almost never happens. Almost never. In a 50-50 fight.
That's right. I'm glad they got that Max on boxing tag right there. Right there. Fridays, 5 p.m. Eastern. ESPN2. Go ahead.
Bob Arum I had on the radio show, Max Kellerman show, 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN.
My buddy, yeah.
And I asked him, why isn't that fight being made? Money's not there yet. The way there is for, because the question is should. You're absolutely right to say should. But in terms of the actual fights that are being made, Fury and Joshua is number one. Maybe
the actual fight's being made.
If Adesanya would have beaten Blachowicz at light heavy, and then John Jones, and then you have Adesanya, John Jones. I'm saying if Adesanya would have dominated, and that would have been something. Fury and Joshua.
Too small for John Bones Jones.
Now we know for sure. Fury and Joshua at heavyweight, and Fury is 6'9", 260 plus, and Anthony Joshua is 6'6", 250 plus. And these two both have claims to the title. Fury was the lineal champ, beat Vladimir Klitschko, but then he had all kinds of problems out of the ring. He went away. Anthony Joshua knocked Klitschko out and developed a consensus around him. But then Fury came back and beat Deontay Wilder, drew with him in a fight he should have won, and then beat the brakes off him in the rematch. Joshua loses his title against Ruiz, but beats Ruiz in the rematch. The winner of this fight has an undisputed, as in no one in the world can dispute the claim that they are the heavyweight champ. And while Fury will be favored, he's bigger, faster, slicker, you're right to point out Joshua can box. Joshua's an Olympic super heavyweight gold medalist. Joshua's got a deep resume, and he can punch.
He can punch.
This is the best fight that is being made in combat sports right now.
He can punch, but he lost to Andy Ruiz, who's pretty damn good. He's very good. Now, I don't like how he looked, but he's pretty damn good, okay? And I wish him nothing but the best because he can really, really fight. But let me say this to you. You know, we point this out. I got opposition, and I'm glad that I got them. I'm glad we're touching on this, Max Kellerman, because I actually want to come on Max and Boxing to talk to you about what I'm about to bring
Let's
up.
Let's do it.
Anytime. I'll come on anytime. You know that. Here's my problem. I don't like the fact that this is a two-fight deal. I don't believe. Now, if Tyson Fury were to lose to Anthony Joshua, I have no problem with the mandatory rematch. But I believe if Anthony Joshua, okay, were to, I'm saying, if Anthony Joshua were to lose, I guess you could look at it that way. I believe that Deontay Wilder deserves the winner. Now, I don't, I have a problem, and I've spoken privately to Deontay Wilder about this. I'm not going to reveal all of that. But he and I had a conversation, and I will tell you this. I have no problem with Tyson Fury sitting there and saying, I'm going to fight Joshua because it's a big fight. But I will say this on behalf of Deontay Wilder. When Tyson Fury was down and in the dumps and nothing was going on in his life, Deontay Wilder gave him that shot.
That's right.
All right? And it came to a draw. And then the second fight, he beat him up pretty bad, 40 pounds heavier, all of this other stuff. I personally think that Deontay Wilder deserves the trilogy, but I have no problem with your suggestion he needs to wait. My
he
problem
needs to beat someone
right,
else.
Right, right.
No one believes he's going to beat Fury in a rubber match.
Yeah, but everyone
you
believes
beat someone.
But everyone believes one punch could take out Anthony Joshua.
Yep.
And I don't think that Deontay Wilder should have to wait. If Anthony Joshua beats Tyson Fury,
then let's see Joshua and Fury.
And Wilder,
here's the thing.
And Wilder, though. I think that Wilder should get the winner.
Don't look too much at the contracts because, look, Deontay Wilder has to be getting paid to step aside. And when you get step aside money, when you're next with a contract, it ain't 100 grand. It's $5-10 million.
Dollars.
You know, so Deontay's getting money just for waiting.
Right.
And believe me, if there's demand for Joshua Wilder, if Joshua were to beat Fury, there's always step aside money you could make.
I understand.
Fight.
All I'm saying is let's not act like people are treating Wilder like he's down and
Deontay's
out. The man lost one fight. One fight. And by the way,
Deontay's one of the best punchers of all time.
By the way, we've seen people lose considerably worse. Now, he got mauled. He got beat up because he was fighting a guy 40 pounds heavier.
But that's going to be the case in the third fight, too.
I'm saying that used the weight to his advantage. All I'm trying to say is that, wait a minute, we've seen people lose worse than Deontay Wilder lost, even though that was a bad loss.
Deontay has to, the way he got beaten by Fury in the rematch, he's going to have to reestablish himself with a big win first.
He don't need to do it. Let me tell you, if Anthony Joshua wins, Deontay Wilder
deserves
that fight.
That's a different story. Joshua Wilder would be a mega fight.
That's right.
Yep.
All I know is this. I miss going to sporting events, and I can't wait to start going in person. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. It was a big spending Monday for the New England Patriots. Look at all those players. In a very uncharacteristic move by head coach Bill Belichick, the Pats made many notable additions to the roster, spending $18 million in bonuses and guarantees, up from the $51 million they spent, I know that number very well, from the $51 million they spent in the prior three seasons combined. On that note, we welcome in Super Bowl champ Ryan Clark, RC. It's been a while. Always good to see you. Always good to talk to you.
Good to see y'all.
Stephen A. Smith, I like the sweater. Did Bill...
Yeah.
Molly's frozen.
We lost Molly.
Okay.
Did Bill Belichick send a message?
Well, listen,
is what
listen,
we
listen,
asked
listen.
Earlier.
I kind of know what she was going to ask me. Talk about Bill Belichick
back
and
now,
the money.
I don't know.
Are you back now, Molly? I hear you. I hear you. Can you hear me?
I think I am. Okay. Yeah, I got you guys.
Go ahead. Ask the question. Go ahead.
All right. Let me give you the question again. Did Bill Belichick put the NFL on notice with all these free agency moves? Because this is so uncharacteristic of him to spend like this.
Well, to me, it wasn't even about putting the NFL on notice. It's about saying he's coming for Tom Brady, because the reality is that Tom Brady's the reigning defending Super Bowl champion, and he accomplished that feat just the very first season he departed from you. So I think that when you look at it from that perspective, then we're looking, it forced us to look at Bill Belichick in a different light. Obviously, as I reported right here on this show, at the time that Tom Brady had elected to leave, I was personally told that they could have kept Tom Brady and Tom Brady would have stayed if Bill Belichick had expressed a desire to want him to. Bill Belichick refused to do that. I reported that right on this show. And so when you look at it from that perspective, understand that Bill Belichick had a lot to do with Tom Brady's willingness to walk out the door. Tom Brady walks out the door and wins. And because he won, not just as a player, but a de facto GM that was making so many decisions for the franchise, now it forces you to look at Bill Belichick and say, excuse me, what did you have this guy working with? Not Jacoby Myers, Jacoby Myers.
Best receiver yet.
But Jacoby Myers, okay? N'Keal Harry and others. He was bereft of weapons. And so when you don't have those weapons available to you, and we're looking at the roster, we know that the players are not as responsible for assembling the roster. That was Bill Belichick's job. So while we don't question his greatness as a coach, because there's absolutely positively nothing to question as it pertains to his coaching, because we know he knows what he's doing. The flip side to it is that we also paid attention to DK Metcalf, the AJ Browns of the world, and others that he had an opportunity to draft, but he passed on. And we're like, what's going on here? What are you missing? And you got a guy that was climbing up there in age, had guys like Spot Kellerman talking about Father Time and, you know, and the numbers and the metrics and all of this other stuff. And that's why he was going to fall over a cliff. And then the next thing you know, he's hearing all of this stuff.
Anti-gravity beam.
He's hearing all of this stuff, and people weren't looking at the weapons that he was lacking. And so now that he's won and you saw that he could win, if you have weapons, you're Bill Belichick. Now what you have to show is that you don't need Tom Brady. You can win without him. If you surround any quarterback you choose with weapons, you should have surrounded Tom Brady with. And so now we're looking at Bill Belichick with a level of skepticism and cynicism. For the first time in maybe 20 years, we're looking at him and saying, wait a minute here. You don't get to just ride the coattails of your great coaching ability and Tom Brady when, in fact, you're the GM of the team as well. You have an obligation to assemble a roster. And you didn't do that to the standards that you were supposed to. So he's going out. He's doing that now. And in the roundabout way, if he ends up winning, think about it. He would have won because the defense, Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung is back. What you added to the defense, some of the offensive weapons you have, particularly at the tight end spot, the fact that you kept Cam Newton, you have done what you're supposed to do, reminding everybody of your greatness overall, not just as a coach. And that's why I say stuff, you know, indirectly, he's coming for Tom Brady because he's out to prove that, you know, he played a role in the success as well.
RC, I just don't think Belichick's in the business of sending messages. He's just trying to compete. And look, they have cap room because they're not paying a quarterback right now. And I don't see any really splashy signings. I mean, that tight end, I guess, Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. Now they had so little production from the tight end position since Gronk left. Now they have two guys who should produce if they're healthy. And in Smith's case, there's upside, right? Like he may be even better than he's already produced. And if Hunter Henry can stay healthy, those are two premium tight ends, and you got both of them. That's great. Aguilar, I don't know. It seems like they paid a lot of money for him, but he's better than the guys they have. Same thing with Kendrick Bourne, better than the guys they have and versatile. I really see it on the defense. He spent money at defensive tackle, defensive end. He has in Judon a really versatile and excellent linebacker who can get pressure on the quarterback. These are sort of, except for Aguilar, sort of typical signings by Belichick in the sense that he didn't wait out the market as he normally does. But again, he doesn't normally have this kind of money to spend and this many holes to fill. Consider this. They won 7 games last year with a quarterback coming off a catastrophic injury, having missed a season, having to learn a completely opposite and new offense without practices. Then he gets COVID. They shut down the facilities. They have no offensive pieces. Most of the defense defected before the season because of COVID. They came two plays away from winning nine games. They beat a slew of really quality teams. So Belichick here has taken that same core, same quarterback, and surrounding them with more talent. I don't think he's sending a message. He's just trying to put the most competitive product he can on the field.
I'm going to tell you the message that I received. That Bill Belichick, who's been the GM of the team up until this year, absolutely stunk it up. That he didn't build a roster that could win without a premier quarterback or without the greatest quarterback of all time. He actually didn't even build a roster that could win with him when you look at the way Tom Brady's tenure in New England ended. And so now what he's trying to do is piece together a team that has a complete roster. When you look at these moves, I know you mentioned Aguilar, obviously Kendrick Bourne. You have Judon on the outside, Jalen Mills in the secondary. These aren't splash free agency moves. These are normally moves you see made later on in free agency when some of those top tier guys go away. And so what this says to me is that Bill Belichick is looking at this as I need to rebuild the entire roster. I'm not just one splash free agent away from competing for the AFC East or one splash free agent away from competing for the AFC. And so that's what he's trying to do. But let's be real. And I hate to bring this up. I love Cam Newton. I've been a fan of Cam Newton since he was at Auburn. But even though we're making all these moves, if Cam Newton is the quarterback, this doesn't help you win the AFC. What Bill Belichick is doing when you look at a three-year deal for Bourne, a two-year deal for Nelson Aguilar is exactly what Max said. He's trying to compete. There is no message sent. The Buffalo Bills are not shaking in their boots because Nelson Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne are now going to be on the outside for New England. What he's trying to do, Bill Belichick, is say, you know what? I need to be more competitive than I was last year. I need to have more of a chance on offense than I had last year. I understand who I have at quarterback. So now let's build with the tight ends inside the numbers to give him easy throws. Defensively, we should be better. And this will give us a chance to compete in the AFC East. But this team isn't a championship team. This team isn't a Super Bowl winning team. We're not going to talk about this team with the Kansas Cities and with the Tampa Bays and with the Green Bay Packers and with the Buffalo Bills. But RC, at least what it is now is a team we feel like that could compete more than it did last year.
RC, here's the thing, though. You said, like, Belichick, I don't think, thinks that way. Belichick, you know, the reason he doesn't make those big splashy moves, unless some guy's totally undervalued and you'd be a crazy not to get him, like Randy Moss. Wait, they're giving Randy Moss away? Sure, we'll take Randy Moss, right? The reason is because he doesn't see it the way everyone else does. To him, it's just a bunch of details. So when he looks at the details, you know, like Kobe Bryant's details, you can check it out on ESPN+. That's how the greats think. When he looks at the details, he sees we won seven games. There was a goal line stand against Seattle and a strip in the red zone against Buffalo. We're two plays away from winning nine games with a ragtag unit, without a defense, without an offense, with a new quarterback. But I like the way the quarterback competed. And when you look at Buffalo and you look at Miami, two teams, a team they almost beat and a team they did beat in Miami, I think Belichick's thinking, if we were really kind of a 500-ish team, I would say, RC, they're better than they were last year. I expect Cam to be better. I look at the roster so far. This is before the draft now. So I think Belichick's thinking we could win double digits with this. And then think of how they played KC. No Cam, calls go against them. That was a competitive game for like almost three quarters, right? Against Kansas City. I wouldn't rule out anything from the Patriots right now. To me, it looks like Belichick is going to field a competitive team this season.
No, I think the team will be competitive. I don't think this team is better than the Buffalo Bills. I don't think this team wins the East. I don't think this team competes for an AFC championship, which is what it's become about in New England. Now, here's the other thing I say about these free agency pieces when I mention that these are normally like later free agency signings. Bill Belichick pinpointed each of these players. These were the guys he wanted. These were the guys he felt like he could build his roster with. He wasn't necessarily looking to make the splash play in free agency, but the right play for where his team is in order to build this roster up. So in that sense, it says to me, Bill Belichick has a plan. I just don't think that plan makes them a team that could win the AFC.
Better start drafting.
Well, I think it's very important to remember that Bill Belichick, one could easily argue, and his question really comes down to what you believe, Ryan. if Tom Brady was not the reigning defending Super Bowl champion, would this level of priority have been placed on the New England Patriots off of last year? I don't think that based off of last year, they do. Even though they recognize they had to improve certain things, I think that Tom Brady being a reigning defending Super Bowl champion certainly helps to incentivize you to do that.
Stephen A., Bill Belichick doesn't like to lose, regardless. Bro. Yeah.
I ain't saying he likes to lose. Yeah. But yeah, damn, the guy leaves you and wins a championship 1 year after you questioned him?
One thing. Hey, yeah. RC, let me ask
you. Damn, why are you acting like you don't know what I'm talking about, Ryan?
That's another chip on your shoulder.
Let me ask you this, RC. To Stephen A.'s point, I'm curious about your actual, like, your thought about this. Had that not been the case, Brady not won the Super Bowl, let's say the Patriots get a little not unlucky and they win 9 games instead of 7 or at least 8 because it came down to a couple plays. You mentioned it. Usually Belichick waits for the market to cool off. Like, he signed a couple guys here, like Bourne or Aguilar, where you're like, maybe you paid a little bit much for those guys compared to normally you wait for those, see who's left, and grab that guy at a deal. Do you think he would have approached free agency differently in terms of the timing?
You know what? I don't. I think he realized what his roster was. He realized the team that he had built. And if you win 9 games in New England, it's still not 12 games. It's still not 13 games. It's still not what Bill Belichick is accustomed to. So he realized the need to do something different. And listen, Stephen A., you what you're trying to think is, like, Bill Belichick lost his girlfriend. His girlfriend went out and upgraded, so he went and got a lot of plastic surgery. That's not what this is. It's that Bill Belichick wants to be great for himself.
That's a horrible analogy. That's a horrible one. First of all, if you're trying to one-up her, you go out and you get somebody just as fly, and you're right, or just as fly as her, if not flyer. That's what you do. You don't go out and get plastic surgery. You go out and you get a better partner. That's what you do. That's number one. So that's a horrible analogy. And number two, again, I'm not trying to. Yeah, you actually can. But the point that I'm trying to make to you is not just that. It's also about the fact that, again, you pushed the dude out the door, essentially. Everyone knows that. So if you push him out the door, what you push him out the door for? You got to show why. And that prioritizes the situation. It's not like Tom Brady just left. No, you pushed him out the door.
But who did he get that's flyer, Stephen A.? That's the point. The point is he did not go out and get it, make a splash. He didn't trade for Deshaun Watson or
because
Dak
he doesn't
Prescott.
Feel he needs to in order to win. Wilson. He because he doesn't feel he needs to in order to win.
Dudes like
he's
Kenny Bourne or
he's
Judon.
He's building out the roster.
They're good players, but
one
they're not
super marquee.
One of
the most competitive people on the earth.
Okay. All right, Joe.
What happened
to
a real soul? Connection and true love, and that being the focus. Okay. Let's talk about famous Jameis. Stephen A., I hate you. One day after Drew Brees announced his retirement, Stephen A. just wants loyalty. Jameis Winston and the Saints reached agreement on a 1-year deal worth up to $12 million, a league source told Adam Schefter. You want it all. I know. Winston will now compete with Taysom Hill for the starting job, which could get complicated. Max, did the Saints' Super Bowl hopes retire when Drew Brees did? Because a lot of people had picked them to win the Super Bowl this past season.
No, and I think it was an illusion. Brees wasn't good enough anymore to win the Super Bowl, pretty obviously. In fact, it came down to a tie game against the Bucs, who they beaten twice when it didn't matter as much. And Brees outplayed Brady when it didn't matter as much. And then with evenly matched teams, tie game in the fourth quarter, there it was. Who's going to make the plays to win the game? Because you knew Brady wasn't going to screw up at the very least. Brees couldn't get it done. Just couldn't get it done. So, and that's been the case in the playoffs the last bunch of years for Brees. Not because he's not great, because he was older and it's a long season. He's not a big guy and he's getting beaten up. He's got all those fractured ribs and punctured lung this season. It's too much for him. So it was an illusion that Brees was the quarterback to get you there in the first place recently, especially this year. But it's a stacked team. And you know what I saw from Taysom Hill? I saw some promise. Thought he's pretty good. Ball security, a bit of an issue, right? And he's not, you know, it's not like Steve Young coming in for Joe Montana once upon a time. But Taysom Hill, who's considered a gadget player for a long time, which I always thought was unfair to him, is a good player and may turn out to be a good quarterback. And besides that, you don't know what else is out there for this team. Quarterback movement now is not what it used to be. A lot of guys jump teams. If Sean Payton feels that the guys he has on the roster aren't good enough, there will be quarterbacks available. I do not think, given the Saints roster, this window is closed.
Please, The damn roster, the damn window wasn't open when they had Drew Brees. They lost, okay? So why wouldn't it be closed now? Am I supposed to believe that Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston is going to guide them to a Super Bowl? I mean, what's wrong with you? No. I mean, of course they retired with Drew Brees for the foreseeable future.
That was 5 years ago.
Excuse me.
Retired.
I'm just saying, listen, the Saints got a decent squad. They'll be competitive. I understand that. I see Ryan covering his face. He's down there in Louisiana. We understand that he's emotionally invested to some degree. Okay. But in the end, what it comes down to is that the Saints have a good squad, but you lost a Hall of Fame quarterback. You don't lose a Hall of Fame quarterback and you continue on as usual. No, you're going to take a step back. I believe that's what the case will be. Taysom Hill was obviously very productive without Drew Brees there. I think when you get to watch film on him and you challenge him a little bit, I don't think he's going to be a scrub by any stretch of the imagination.
Sean Payton believes in him.
But I don't give a damn. Are you asking me?
Sean Payton knows something.
I respect the hell out of Sean Payton. Sean Payton ain't the co-host of First Take. I am. I don't give a damn what Sean Payton. I'm telling you what I feel. I don't believe that the New Orleans Saints going to be the same team without Drew Brees. And don't get me started on no Jameis Winston. I'm happy he got a contract. Happy he got some money because I don't want the brother unemployed. And I think that he's got a future in the NFL at some point. But is he that dude? Is Taysom Hill that dude? No. Let's stop that. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, guys, just put it out there. Taysom Hill ain't the dude nowhere. Taysom Hill ain't the quarterback. If Taysom Hill is the quarterback of this team, they may be a 500 team. The fact that Mac say he saw some promise in Taysom Hill, he played good against the Atlanta Falcons twice. He was awful against the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos started a practice squad. He inexperienced, but he dang near my age, Max.
Well, this is not right, but he's inexperienced at the position.
And you guys are talking about a team taking a step back from a Hall of Fame quarterback. The first thing is this. When Drew Brees is leaving the New Orleans Saints, he's no longer a Hall of Fame level quarterback. He's definitely a first ballot Hall of Famer. You're not losing a Hall of Fame level quarterback.
Right.
You're losing a quarterback who actually cost you a Super Bowl opportunity. Right? And so if Jameis went, this offense can be more explosive with Jameis Winston. Now, your problem is how far they were over the cap and all the other pieces that they're going to have to lose and now replace in order to have a good roster around Jameis Winston if Sean Payton decides that that's the quarterback. This window was closed actually before we knew it because we watched the New Orleans Saints play regular season after regular season, and that's why we thought the window was open. We said if this team can play in the playoffs, that team can win the Super Bowl. But that team never made it to the playoffs because that regular season quarterback never got to the playoffs. That regular season quarterback got outplayed by Kirk Cousins. That regular season quarterback got outplayed by Tom Brady. And so is the window closed? Can they win it this year? Probably not. But what I'm saying is it wasn't open anyway. And if we continue to have this discussion about Taysom Hill being a starting quarterback, I'm going to ram my head into this iPad.
Well, you better put on a helmet.
Whoa.
He is
Ryan Clark.
Put on a helmet.
Ryan Clark. I've
Ryan.
Said this to you on several occasions
Tell
in the past.
Him, Ryan.
I'll say it again.
I got one behind me.
Ryan Clark, there's absolutely nothing wrong with just sitting on why you got to go on the long soliloquy. There's absolutely nothing wrong with just saying Stephen A. was right.
Because
you agree with me.
Because
you agree with me. You agree with me. I'm saying you could at least said that. You could at least said, Max, I agree with Stephen A. But because you get up early in the morning and you used to dropping dimes on the Get Up crew and others, you know what, giving your little soliloquies and breaking stuff down with the level of expertise that you religiously provide, you
time.
Get caught up in trying to give us these phrases and all of this other stuff. You should have started off by saying, Stephen A's right, Max. Stephen A's right.
First of all.
What else is new?
First
That's
of all
you had to say,
Stephen
right?
A, Stephen you
That's
right.
all you had to say.
Stephen A
you
was right. Stephen A was right about time. Julius Randle traveling earlier.
Yeah,
I gave it up when you're right.
It took you about an hour. It took you about an
That's
hour.
Not true. I gave it up on the spot.
We didn't hear you.
He definitely traveled.
We didn't hear you. We whispered it. You whispered it.
You
whispered
it. You whispered it.
You said it might be a travel.
You whispered it.
Here's the point about Drew Brees.
Definitely a travel.
And Ryan, you made the point.
A football player.
Drew Brees is not as hard to replace in terms terms of postseason success as people think. First of all, the Saints are 8-0 the last couple seasons with Bridgewater and Taysom Hill, right? Or whatever the record is. It's better than it is with Drew Brees. Now, you could say, well, because they don't know what to expect, and once this league gets tape, okay, fine. That may be the case. But the point is, they don't need Brees to be a very good team. They're a very good team if they have okay play from the quarterback. And I'm simply higher on Taysom Hill than you are. I don't know that he can be a good starting quarterback, but I don't know that he can't be. And if Sean Payton has that kind of faith in him, that tells me something. So, like, whether it's Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, or someone else, if they get competent quarterback play, this is a dangerous team. If they get more than competent play, it's a contender.
I love how you say.
I think they can get more than competent play.
I love how he says he's confident because he doesn't know. He doesn't know whether he's going to be good or whether he's not.
Well, Drew Brees wasn't very
good. So that's a reason to feel good
recently,
about it. Because you don't know.
Only you would say,
I don't know, but that's a reason to feel good.
My point is the odds have not
can't rule it out. Can't rule it in, but can't rule it out. So because of that, I'm confident. That's why you confident
up or down for the Saints?
All right. Say what?
Have the odds gone up or down without Brees for the Saints?
I'm sure it's going down.
No, it's about the same.
Really?
Yes.
That's a lie.
It's about the same. Tell him, RC.
Here's why it's about the same. We overvalued Drew Brees the last couple of years. I did as well. I'm going to be honest. I did
Thank
as well.
You.
We overvalued
what?
Who
oh, he's
Drew Brees
he's Fred
truly
Sanford
was when it mattered. Absolutely. And so now
I'm coming up to join you, honey.
It's about
I'm coming up to join you, honey.
It's about
come on now. Overvaluing Drew Brees. I mean, listen.
Overvalued him.
Did it? You played in Pittsburgh, right, with Big Ben Roethlisberger. Won a Super Bowl. Congratulations.
Yes.
Did you go to Washington, too? Did you go to Washington? I don't even remember who the hell your quarterback was when you was in Washington. But I do believe you were there. So let me get this straight.
We got
a guy in Drew Brees that was completing 70% of his passes most times over the last 5 years, over 4,000 yards, completed 70% of his passes. And we're going to sit up here and say that he was overvalued? Yeah. Really? That's disrespectful. That's disrespectful. It really, really
Why
is.
Why do you think he retired?
It's disrespectful.
You think he retired because he was as good as ever? You see Tom Brady retiring
now
because he's bowling still.
He has a beautiful family. He wants to spend time with the kids.
He does.
Excuse me. Can I say something
Amazing
to Ryan
family.
Clark?
Yes,
Ryan.
Yes.
I gotta piggyback on what Stephen A'd say. How could you get so angry about Max in terms of the Taysom Hill comment, but then you're saying that they have the same type of odds now with Taysom Hill and with Jameis Winston that they did with Drew Brees?
No,
get him,
come
Molly.
On, right?
Get him.
Molly, I said Taysom Hill is not in my quarterback equation. So when they say Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston, what happens on my earpiece is they go dead for Taysom Hill, and all I hear is Jameis Winston. All I'm talking about is if Jameis Winston is the quarterback of this team.
Ryan, you're the one who came up with 30 for 30. You're the one who came up with calling
you.
Him 30 for 30.
That was you,
Ryan. Where's your consistency?
Guys,
he's saying he'd go 30 for 15.
I don't have to have consistency. Because he's not on the same team. It's not the same year. And what we know is, with Drew Brees, this team didn't win a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah,
this
Jameis
is not
is
a Super Bowl team with Drew Brees, right? And so now, when you think about Jameis Winston playing on this team, if they don't win the Super Bowl, it's the exact same odds.
Right.
They ain't win it. They did not win it. And so it's one thing if...
So wait a minute, Ryan Clark. So I just want to make sure I'm clear. I listen to Ryan Clark because the man knows his football. Excuse me. So what Ryan Clark is saying is that essentially, A, if you don't win a Super Bowl, bottom line is you finish the season the same as everybody else. That's what he's saying. So in other words, if you wet the bed in the regular season as opposed to wet the bed in the playoffs, there's no difference to Ryan Clark because
they have a better
Super
record
Bowl.
Without
right,
Brees
that's
in the regular season.
That's number one. Number two, what he's saying
the bed is
wet. When it comes to Jameis Winston, the 30 for 30 – the new meaning for 30 for 30 is applicable to Tampa. But that same quarterback in New Orleans, oh, no, it's a little bit different in New Orleans. Really?
Stephen A.
That's your argument?
Stephen A. Did we not Did we not say when Jameis Winston signed here, this was great for his career? Why? Because first, he could sit behind Drew Brees for
and
a year.
Learn.
And the plan always was to many of us that he would be the starting quarterback going forward and that he could be explosive. And
it.
The hopes were that Sean Payton could coach him out of the
Until
mistakes.
He got beat
Sean
out
Payton
by Taysom Hill.
Coach him out of the No, he didn't get beat out by Taysom Hill. They promised Taysom Hill that in the offseason that he'd have the opportunity.
They
and it
brought
was actually
Jameis Winston for a trick play.
Now you
will you stop?
Now you don't start Jameis Winston for four games and lose him like you lost Teddy Bridgewater. It was a genius play by Sean Payton. Jameis Winston going to be the starting quarterback of this team. Jameis Winston is going to play well. Does that mean this team's going to win a Super
Bowl?
You don't
know that.
Probably
you don't
not.
Know that. Stop
they
it.
Ain't winning
listen,
listen,
listen.
The sweater.
Ryan,
look. You and your little
Ryan
Christmas,
Clark,
your little Thanksgiving
you're the
sweater.
One.
Let me
Molly,
tell you something.
Don't
you,
Clark's
don't
the
say
one.
It. You know
Wait,
better.
Hold on.
You know
no,
better.
No. I got to say something to RC. RC's the one who's consistently in shape, and he taught us here on First Take that if you want to be in shape, the most important thing
he got
is
me
to
off
be consistent. And then when
he got
it comes
me off Crunch Berries,
to
rather.
Arguments and debate on
he
television,
got me off Crunch Berries.
He's all
this
over
is
the
still
place.
Consistent.
Where's your consistency, Ryan? Get your life together.
Bye, Ryan.
That was
got
two
me off
years
Crunch
ago, Jameis. This is new Jameis.